A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know this. Tend my sheep." And a third time, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs." This is the fourth and last of the four stories written of Jesus' life, John's Gospel, the latest written. These quite nearly the very last words Jesus says to his disciples in that last Gospel. He says the same words essentially three times, a Trinitarian completion imagery, suggests that what he has to say is vaguely important. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my people. An imperative to which we are called, and what I think, at least metaphorically and sometimes quite literally, defines the nature of our ministry. So I want to talk about a ministry of feeding in ways that are both literal and metaphorical. And I thought of a different way of understanding this that I think draws a few sets of insights together this week. We sort of took a leap of faith early in the week and went out and bought a butterfly bush, planted it in our yard, which is by and large on top of a caliche pit. Things don't always grow very well there, but giving it a shot. Butterfly bush in a box that's got good soil in it for the moment. And butterflies showed up. Butterflies are being fed on our butterfly bush. And I started thinking about the metaphor of the butterfly and how it relates to what might be at least a way of understanding our ministry, especially our ministry of feeding. Our six-year-old granddaughter in Illinois is a big fan of bugs. She really likes bugs. And close to their home is a park that has in it a fairly extensive patch of milkweed. Well, milkweed is caterpillar food. That's what caterpillars eat and become cocoons, and ultimately, by the grace of God and for our benefit, become monarch butterflies. Well, Katie pretty much every year gets a stick and some milkweed leaves and a caterpillar and watches them grow in a jar. Katie feeds the caterpillar and watches God turn it into a butterfly and enjoys the flight at the end of the day. I think that's our job. I think our job is to feed caterpillars. Not lambs and sheep, I know that that's important too, but metaphorically, our job, our ministry, is about the feeding of caterpillars and let God turn them into butterflies. It means giving up some control about the outcome. Get to that in a minute. I think there are a couple of examples of how this works, and there are many, and you can think of your own a little bit later. I think we feed caterpillars when we get involved in a cause, especially in a cause related to our country's efforts to reduce the impact of hunger. South Plains Food Bank is about that. And it's relatively uncomplicated compared to, let's say, an initiative that came forward in our home state of Wisconsin several years ago. Tommy Thompson was governor of Wisconsin during the Bush administration, and the Welfare to Work program that he instituted in Wisconsin during that time, the nature of it and the success of it led to his appointment as George W. Bush's Secretary of Health and Human Services. Great idea. People who receive public assistance will receive job training, food subsidy, child care even, and health care, and for a three-year period and a three-year period only, move from welfare to work. Great idea. Well, it turns out a couple of things in the analysis of that. In the years prior to welfare to work, most of those who received benefits ahead of that program also got off welfare within 3 years, so that was sort of typical. And although the job training and the child care and the health care were more beneficial, one of the outcomes was that when the 3 years was up, even children in many of those families lost their health insurance. So when we bureaucratize the process and politicize it to that degree, it solves some problems but creates others. Our mobile food pantry is a lot simpler. There are guidelines which define good stewardship regarding who qualifies. And once those are qualified, we simply give them the food. And that's the idea. We're in effect feeding caterpillars with this. We have no control over what they do with the box. They could sell it on eBay for all we know, or give it to people that don't deserve it. Not our problem. Our problem is to give the food to those who are qualified and let God turn them into butterflies. Feeding caterpillars. It's not that complicated. We do, however, lose some control, so that's the trade-off. Well, that's not the only place we lose some control. We honor a high school graduate today. You've been feeding the caterpillar for 17 years. She's going off to Texas Tech University. A cocoon. You don't get to have a lot of input anymore. You lose control. And we hope and pray God turns her into butterfly. But you haven't got a lot of control on that. I love Tech students. They pay my salary. They're also kind of entertaining and sometimes annoying to watch. We have a condominium in our complex that was purchased by a set of parents who live in the Metroplex for their now first year ending son, who's 19. Got him the condo, got him the biggest truck in the neighborhood, frankly. Lot of good caterpillar, lot of good milkweed leaves that he's been fed over the last little bit. The condo has become a party house. Parents didn't have complete control. We've worked it out, but it's tense. We have to give up some of that control pretty much starting today. Not that you haven't figured that out, but thanks for putting it in my face again, Jerry. Feeding caterpillars is what it means to raise up kids. You don't have complete control. And that's frightening. How many of you wish you'd like to have just a little more control in your life about this, that, and maybe even many other things? Who would say, by a show of hands, I'd like to control more things, frankly? There are a lot of things over which we have no control. We wind up feeding caterpillars and pray to God they become butterflies. We have no control until we do. Until we do. And we do. We picked up one of these church humor books this week. Happened to see it and had a use for it. And in the book, there's a whole list of, sort of playing off Jeff Foxworthy a little bit, you might be a pastor if, in this instance, you might be a pastor if, when you look in the mirror, you point and shout, "Repent, you heathens!" Just to see what you look like when you do that. I already know what I look like when I do that, because I say things to me that are not helpful. I know what I look like when I'm angry at me looking in the mirror. I know what I look like when I tell myself, "Are you crazy? What were you thinking? You screwed up again. You always screw up. You stink." Sound familiar? You ever tell yourself stuff like that? That's feeding the caterpillar that is you poison. We have a choice. Over this, we have control. The message in the gospel is not "repent, you heathens," but rather "rejoice, you blessed." Rejoice, you blessed. Because repeatedly and without fail, those who have made mistakes are drawn back and energized with words of love and hope and forgiveness. Rejoice, you blessed. How do you train yourself to say that? Well, as I'm wont to do at this time of the year, I always talk about softball. I am working hard at teaching myself to do a very difficult thing in the middle of a softball game. Now, compared to all the other guys that are 60-ish in our league, I run pretty fast and I hit the ball pretty well, but I do not field very well at all. Frankly, I stink. I stopped playing the outfield when a year ago I first saw a ball come off the bat for the first time when it landed at my feet. I play second base now. I sometimes still kick the ball into the outfield and miss, and I'm training myself, and this is hard work, that when that happens, I say to myself over and over to the point where that's all I'm saying, hit me the next one. Hit me the next one. And keep doing it, and I will get it right. It's hard to do because you want to say, oh my gosh, hit it to somebody else. Hit me the next one. Give me another chance. A useful sequence of things to say to yourself when you have kicked it into the outfield in your marriage, when you have kicked it into the outfield with your kids, when you have kicked it into the outfield at work or in the neighborhood. Everybody does. Some of us will today. Hit me the next one. Because this is where you find the most nutritious milkweed leaves in the universe. The gospel writings energize us and give us the wit and the will to say, hit me the next one. Jesus says to Peter, as he pulls him out of the drink, feed my sheep. Peter walked on the water for a while, then he got scared and Jesus had to pull him up. And one of the next things he did was deny him three times, and Jesus had to go, I'm going to hit you the next one. Feed my sheep. He said to the woman at the well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I bet she didn't go and sin no more. I bet she sinned once or twice. But he, in effect, said, I'm going to hit you the next one. And after that, I'm going to hit you the next one and the next one, and you'll get it. Feeding caterpillars, words of hope. He says to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the crook, the Bernie Madoff of his day, come out of the tree. Let's have dinner. Next time you're up a tree, largely one of your own planting and cultivating, tell yourself, hit me the next one. I want to have dinner with Jesus. Well, that's what we're doing in just a second. We're hearing the words and experiencing the reality that this food was given for us. Holy Communion is the act of feeding caterpillars. And we tell ourselves we're worth it when we hear the body and blood was broken and shed, only because God's love for us outweighs his wrath. When you receive what the Lord first gives us, we are in effect hearing again, you get the next one. Feed his caterpillars. Feed yourself the food that puts us back in the game. Amen.